I will be ranting about various topics that have been on my mind, well, even before I passed away. It's all radio related. So stay tuned, enjoy the rants, and maybe even enjoy the music. I mean, this is pirate radio, and it's basically an unwritten law that somewhere on 43 meters, someone has to play music that can be downloaded for free. So this show is no exception. And since it is December and there is snow on the ground, at least in some parts of the country, I've got a bit of a Christmas theme going as well, so let's begin. Oh, ham radio. Once the mighty frontier of communication, the great gathering place of tinkerers, explorers, and dreamers, it used to be magical, folks, back in my day when I was alive and kicking. It was the place where you could connect with people halfway around the world, share ideas, and exchange stories about the strange, the unexplained, and the cutting edge of technology. But now it feels like ham radio has lost its soul. And let me tell you, it breaks my heart. I remember when the bands were alive with personality. Every frequency was buzzing with voices, some clear, some scratchy, but all filled with character. You had old-timers passing down knowledge, newcomers eager to learn, and that ever-present excitement of tuning into something unexpected. It wasn't just about the signal, it was about the connection. When I keyed up my mic, I wasn't just sending out words, I was sending out a piece of myself. But since I passed away, it's like the magic has faded. Ham radio today, it feels hollow, like a shell of its former glory. A bit like the free radio network. Sure, there are still operators out there, but the energy is different. It's quieter. The camaraderie isn't what it used to be. Instead of vibrant discussions about the superiority of vertical antennas and the travesty of stretchy AM pirate radios, it feels like everyone's either gone silent or moved on to something else. Probably staring at internet porn or figuring out how to set up the computer radio interface for fucking FT8. And if we are lucky, they are making inane reception reports or selling wares on the HFU boards. And don't even get me started on the lack of originality. Back then, you'd hear people experimenting, pushing the limits of their rigs, crafting homebrew setups that defied logic, yet somehow worked. These days, it's cookie-cutter equipment straight out of the box. Plug it in, follow the instructions, and there you go. Where's the tinkering? Where's the trial and error? Where's the fun in that? It's like the spirit of innovation has been sucked out of the hobby. The conversations have changed, too. I used to love stumbling onto late-night chats about UFOs, cryptids, and the strange lights someone spotted out in the Nevada desert. Now, you're more likely to hear arguments about vertical antennas, stretchy radios, or someone complaining about a neighbor's noisy Christmas decoration. And don't get me started on the people who endlessly seem to enjoy that most boring of radio activities, the playing of music on 43 meters. Where's the sense of wonder? Where's the curiosity? Where's the sense of adventure? And where did on-ID tones go to? I miss that son of a bitch. But it's like everyone's forgotten that ham radio used to be a playground for the mind, not just a platform for technical nitpicking or fucking useless 15-second contacts. And then there's the noise, literal and metaphorical. The bands are clogged with interference from modern electronics and stretchy radios, making it harder and harder to pick out a clean signal. It's like the entire world has conspired to drown out what little magic is left on the airwaves. And when you do find a clear frequency, good fucking luck finding someone interesting to talk to. I hate to say it, but the decline started even before I passed on. Digital modes crept in, and while they have their uses, they've sterilized a lot of the human element. Not that hams are human, but you get what I mean. When you're communicating through a computer, where's the personality? Where's the crackle of a fading signal or the excitement of pulling someone out of the noise? It's efficient, sure, but it's also soulless. And let's face it, ham radio's relevance has taken a hit in the age of the internet. Why bother learning Morse code or fiddling with a transceiver when you can hop on Discord or Reddit or the HFU boards and talk to someone across the globe instantly? The romance of the airwaves is lost on a generation that grew up with Wi-Fi and Elon fucking Musk's shitter, or X, or whatever it's called now. Don't we all wish that asshole just tried getting DXCC on 10 meters instead of doing lines of coke that make him dream up dumb ideas like the Boring Company? I'm not saying ham radio is dead. There are still pockets of greatness out there. But it's not the same as it used to be. The spirit, the community, the magic, it feels like it's fading. And my passing was just one more nail in the coffin. See what I did there? Punny, eh? Ham radio. If you're listening, I'm rooting for you. But you've got a lot of work to do if you want to reclaim the wonder and excitement you once had. Until then, I'll be over here in the beyond, spinning the dials of the cosmic ether, hoping to catch a little of that old magic again. I am Art Bell, and you are listening to Art Bell Speaks Radio. Yes, yes, yes. I'm a hypocrite because I just played music on 43 meters, but I'm dead. What are you going to do now? The truth is, you're listening to me on the fifth harmonic from an AM broadcast station. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. my Christmas tree has a Bluetooth connection. Yes, you heard me right. A Bluetooth connection. As if decorating a tree wasn't already a chaotic mix of tangled lights and fragile ornaments, now we've got technology shoehorned into the most timeless holiday tradition. Who asked for this? Not Al Fansom, that's for sure. Who woke up one day and said, you know what would make Christmas better? A tree that can sync to my phone? Not even Tim Tron would do that. I don't get it. What's the point? In the old days, you plugged in the lights and they either worked or they didn't. Sure, sometimes they didn't. And maybe you might get polio too. And you'd spend hours swapping out bulbs to find the one culprit in the strand. But there was a simplicity to it. A charm. Now, thanks to Bluetooth, I've got an app to control the lights. An app. I've got to open my phone, connect to the tree like it's a pair of earbuds, and select from 37 different light patterns in a row, none of which make it look more festive than a good old string of multicolored bulbs and shitty 30-year-old tinsel. And don't get me started on the setup. The instructions alone are a novel. Enable pairing to your tree. Pairing mode? It's a Christmas fucking tree, not a smart speaker. I spent half an hour trying to figure out why it wouldn't connect, only to discover my phone was trying to sync up to the neighbor's Bluetooth-enabled blow-up snowman. When I finally got it working, I was too irritated to feel even a shred of holiday cheer. Here's the kicker, though. Once you get it connected, what do you actually gain? Oh, sure. You can change the colors from your couch. You can make it blink to the beat of Jingle Bell Rock. Big fucking deal. Is this what we've come to? Are we so lazy, so out of touch with tradition, that we need our tree to sync with Spotify? I used to hang a few candy canes, smoke a bowl, and call it a day. Now, my tree wants to remind me to update its firmware. And, of course, because it's Bluetooth, the connection isn't exactly reliable. Half the time, it disconnects for no reason, leaving my tree stuck in some seizure-inducing light pattern that makes it look like I'm hosting a rave instead of celebrating Christmas. I literally have kids knocking on my door looking to score Molly. The other half of the time, the app freezes, and I have to reboot it because nothing says holiday spirit like troubleshooting a tech issue with a pack of ravers getting a little too handsy in a cuddle puddle. But you know what's even more infuriating than ravers, that is? The tree has a perfectly functional on-off switch. I don't need Bluetooth to turn it on. I don't need a light show synced to Mariah Carey or the latest Skrillex dub mix. I just want a tree that looks festive without requiring a Wi-Fi password. But no, apparently simplicity isn't enough anymore. Everything has to be smart these days, even the stuff that worked perfectly fine for decades without a single line of code. So here I am, staring at my Bluetooth Christmas tree, wondering when exactly we cross the line from enhancing traditions to overcomplicating them. It's a tree, folks. A tree. Not a gadget, not a piece of tech. It's supposed to be a symbol of warmth and togetherness. Not a reminder that even the holidays aren't safe from the relentless march of unnecessary innovation. Look, if you're thinking of buying a Bluetooth Christmas tree, save yourself the hassle. Get a regular one. Plug it in. Watch it glow. Crush up that stash of Molly and do a couple of lines. Enjoy the season without needing a user manual. Because trust me, folks, the only thing Bluetooth brings to the holidays is frustration. Merry Christmas, and may your trees be simple, bright, and blissfully unplugged. But plug the Molly if you want. right, folks, let's talk about a serious issue. There just aren't enough Simpsons Christmas episodes. For a show that's been on the air longer than most of us have been alive, or for that matter, dead, you'd think they'd have a sleigh load of holiday cheer by now, but no. We get scraps, maybe one episode every few years, when Springfield is practically made for Christmas chaos. For God's sake, they make fun of ham radio more often than they have Christmas episodes. And their notorious harassment of people who still prefer to use an actual analog dial over modern SDR technology seems to come up at least once every season. But Christmas, it's like at about an S1 or S2 level under S4 noise. Think about it. Kissing. Simpsons roasting on an open fire set the bar sky high, a solid 10 over S9. It's a classic. Heartwarming, funny, and everything a Christmas episode should be. But after that, what do we get? A handful of episodes scattered across 30-plus seasons, and there's no schedule for them. It's absurd. A good 40 over S9 episode might be in the pipeline, but if you don't know when it's going to be on, what's the point? Where are the annual traditions? Where's the Springfield Christmas magic? If they can crank out an S7 to S8 Treehouse of Horror every year, why can't Christmas get the same treatment? Springfield is perfect for holiday hijinks. It's basically 43 meters in cartoon form. Homer as a department store Santa again? Yes, please. Mr. Burns ruining Christmas for profit? Classic. Lisa uncovering a forgotten pagan holiday? Gold. The material is endless, but instead we're stuck with reruns of the same two or three episodes. Sure, they're great. Marge Be Not Proud and She of Little Faith are classics, but come on, after three decades, we deserve more. To the Simpsons team, stop hogging all the Halloween fun. Give us more Christmas. Let Springfield shine with lights, chaos, and heartwarming moments every holiday season. Because right now, your Christmas catalog looks like the forgotten fruitcake of the TV world. Just listen to it. On it goes. Like putting music on radio was invented last fucking Tuesday. Sorry, folks, I shouldn't swear like this, but honestly, I don't give a fucking shit. This one has been on my chest for too many years now, so here we go. It makes absolutely no sense for Santa Claus to take 24 hours to deliver presents to the entire world. Have you ever stopped to think about it? Most of the planet isn't even Christian. So what's Santa doing for half that time? Sightseeing, taking coffee breaks in the Sahara, or maybe, just maybe, he's just wasting his time scanning 6900 to 7000 kilohertz with an end fed out the back of that fucking sleigh while he's sitting on that huge ass of his. Let's get real. There are approximately 8 billion people on this planet. How many of them are actually expecting a visit from Santa? A third of the population, at most, and not even all of them, believe in the whole sleigh and reindeer routine. So why does it take him the entire day to get the job done? He's got a magic sleigh, for crying out loud. Even with the time zone advantage, the math just doesn't add up. And that's where the pirate radio theory comes in. You see, I think Santa's not as busy as he lets on. He's spending those extra hours trying to get his stretchy radio to stay on frequency. Maybe he's listening to a pirate station beaming Christmas carols from an undisclosed Arctic bunker. Or perhaps he's eavesdropping on some ham operator who thinks they're alone out there in the ether. Because let's be honest, what else is Santa going to do in parts of the world where he's got no chimneys to drop into? He's probably making up fake number stations, too. Oh, shit. That's probably it. That whole thing makes a lot more sense now. You've got huge swaths of the globe where Santa's presence isn't even a thing. India, China, large parts of Africa, and the Middle East. He's not stopping in those places to drop off toys. So what's he doing? Circling the planet for no reason? Hanging out in international airspace like some mythical NORAD bogey? Or is he parked up in the sleigh, tinkering with pizza topping listings and stringing it together for a good laugh? And let me tell you, shortwave pirate radio is Santa energy, if I've ever seen it. Think about it, sneaking onto the airwaves, broadcasting without a license, and leaving no trace behind. That's exactly the kind of rebellious, under-the-radar operation Santa would be running if he weren't in the gift-giving game. Maybe he even has his own secret station, Radio North Pole, beaming holiday cheer to the few losers tuned into 43 meters. Wouldn't that just fit? But back to the logistics. If Santa were smart, and let's assume he's no fool, he'd focus on the regions where he's actually expected. That's a much smaller delivery radius. And with his supposed speed and magic, he could wrap that up in a few hours tops. The rest of the time, he's clearly fucking around. So here's my theory. Santa's 24-hour world tour is just a cover. Half the time, he's messing with pirate stations or broadcasting his own clandestine Christmas propaganda. The rest? Probably napping in the sleigh while Rudolph keeps the GPS locked on the next stop. And you know what? I respect the hustle, but let's not pretend it's all about delivering toys. In conclusion, folks, the idea that Santa needs a full day to handle the whole world is a myth, just like the man himself. But if you happen to hear an odd signal on the shortwave this Christmas Eve, don't be surprised if it's coming straight from the big guy in the red suit. Merry Christmas, and keep your dials tuned.
In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, beneath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. I split the night and touched the sound of silence, and in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never shared. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Who said I, you do not know? Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed in the wells of silent, and the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said, the words of the prophets are written on the subway wall.
That's the beautiful thing about 43 meters. It's never silent. From cosmic radiation that originated from the Big Bang 15 billion years ago through to your dipshit neighbor growing cannabis in his basement, there is no sound of silence on 43 meters. All right, folks, let me lay it out for you. There is no moon. That's right. What you've been staring at all your life is nothing more than the greatest prank in human history, started by Neolithic cultures who, frankly, had too much time on their hands. Think about it. These early humans are sitting around carving rocks and inventing fire. And someone says, hey, let's make everyone believe there's this giant glowing orb in the sky. So they get creative, probably using smoke, mirrors, and in some elaborate bonfire setups to project this illusion. Over time, the story snowballs. It controls the tides. It's a god. It's made of cheese. And people bought it. The prank got passed down generation to generation, and before you know it, science comes along and starts justifying the whole thing with physics and geology. And now we're stuck with this so-called moon that we swear we've landed on, even though it always shows us the same face, like it's hiding something. Really? The same face? For billions of years? Sure. That's not suspicious at all. Some ham radio operators, who are obviously part of the grift, claim to bounce radio signals off the moon. Folks, the moon isn't real. It's just a cosmic inside joke that got out of hand. And now we're all in on it, whether we like it or not. Neolithic trolls, I salute you. But man, did you ever overcommit to the bit?
But I couldn't find a way, so I'll dabble.
That one was for you, Chris Smolinski, Fleetwood Fucking Mac. You're listening to Art Bell Speaks Radio. And I'm glad you are, because I have something really important to say. Kids these days don't know how to do anything. You want proof? They can't even build a simple antenna. That's right. Even a basic talk-to-the-world vertical antenna for 11 meters. And don't get me started on anything more complicated. Coax connections, impedance matching, grounding systems. Forget it. We're raising a generation that couldn't get on even the CB channels if their TikTok lives depended on it. It's tragic, really. Back in my day, you weren't considered fuckable unless you could whip up a Yagi out of spare parts or rig a long wire antenna with nothing but some scrap wire and a tree branch. Now, they can barely plug in a Wi-Fi router, and if something doesn't have a QR code or an app, they're completely fucked. Building an antenna isn't just about talking on the radio. It's about problem solving, creativity, and resourcefulness. It's about understanding how signals travel, how the world communicates, and what the latest weirdo with a Mars-modded ham radio has to say. Kids these days don't get that. They think a signal is something their phone magically conjures out of thin air. Ask them what a balun is, and they'll think you're talking about some new energy drink. I mean, I like balun, the new energy drink, but I'm talking about one-to-one dipole baluns made with the little thing kids don't know shit about these days, wire and solder and toroids. And let's talk tools. What kid today even owns a soldering iron? Do they know how to strip coax without destroying it? Can they climb a tree to hang an end-fed wire? I doubt it. They've been coddled by pre-assembled gadgets and plug-and-play nonsense, while the art of building, tinkering, and experimenting falls by the wayside. What happens when the grid goes down, huh? When their precious fucking internet is gone and they can't just fucking Google their way out of a fucking problem? Who's going to set up the fucking emergency communication networks? Not these fucking kids. Someone with fucking three or maybe four different DXCCs will have to. They'll be standing there staring at their fucking dead smartphones, while a handful of us fucking old-timer CW operators save the fucking day with our fucking homemade antennas and fucking HF rigs. So here's my advice. Teach your kids how to fucking build something, anything. Start with a fucking basic dipole. Show them how to fucking solder. How to use a fucking SWR meter. How to fucking troubleshoot high QRM without shooting the neighbor right in the balls. Because if they can't make a fucking antenna, they might as well be circle jerking. And folks, that's no way to live. Okay, so that's our show for tonight. If I get around to it, I will send out some EQSLs if you maggots have been logging this on the HFU boards. You have been listening to Art Bell Speaks Radio. Have a good night. And if the Grays turn up with their probes, just have some Vaseline ready by the bed or some Amyl nitrate.